Hi there and welcome to another one of my podcasts. It has been a very tumultuous month since I last spoke. I was in hospital twice but now seem to have recovered from what turned out to be a rare autoimmune blood condition. Although I'm on tablets, I seem to be back to normal again, thank goodness. In world politics, we've had Trump betraying his allies called the Kurds in the Middle East and letting them down badly and allowing them to be attacked by Turkey, and probably Assad will be very, very happy. And here in England, Boris Johnson has today managed to cobble together some sort of Brexit deal, which I genuinely hope will be voted down by the British Parliament on Saturday. I do not want to leave the EU. It'll be a disaster, particularly for all musicians. I'm going to start with somebody who just about made only one record, but it's very famous because it was one of those of the first group of Hollywood musicals that changed history forever in terms of show business, because these were the first sound films. Harry Warren's song called Lullaby of Broadway. And if you think of that song, and if you're like me at any rate and like old films, you will hear one voice singing it. And the name of the person who sang it was Winifred Shaw. She had a relatively short career, but that film, we all remember, she actually was born the youngest of 13 children who came really from Hawaii. She was born Winifred Lei Momi in San Francisco, but as I say, from an Hawaiian family. Born in 1907, she lived to the age of 75. In the middle of her life, or I should say, of course, starting young, in her 20s, she started singing and dancing and being in musicals, and by the mid-30s, she was in quite a few films, but within a very short period of years. Something like almost 30 films she was in, but all between 1934 and 1937, with a couple more a year or two later. I have a feeling this might be the most famous of them. It was a film called, of course, Gold Diggers of 1935. As I say, as soon as you hear this song, you'll recognize her voice, because it is the voice that you hear, and of course you see her in that film. But this is just about the only record she made, and it was made around this time, no doubt to help publicize the film. It was made in February 1935. So let's listen then to Winifred Shaw singing Lullaby Broadway.
Let's call it a day or live
Winifred Shaw. She seemed to do very little after about 1939. One wonders whether she left show business of her own volition or whether she spent the rest of her life regretting that her career hadn't continued. Well, I'll never know. I don't know if anybody knows, but that was at least one world-famous moment in her life. Another singer of a completely different sort, whose career also did a dive bomb fairly early on, I suppose, was the Greek tenor known as Costa Milona. His real name was Konstantinos Milonas, and known as Kostas, I think that was his nickname. And he was born in 1897, and somebody heard him singing and sent him to Athens Conservatory, somebody helping to pay for his board and lodging because he wasn't ever a rich person. And he studied hard and he studied well and got high grades, acting, musical history, and of course, singing. Listen to the quality of his voice and one is amazed at the general quality of singing opera in those days. He wasn't a world star, and yet if he were singing now, he would be. The record I'm going to give you is one of his last acoustics. And after studying in Greece, he seemed to have studied in Italy but ended up in Germany, where he recorded most of his tracks. Parlophone, Homochord, Vox, Crystal, Reclama, all German labels. And he lived there all through the Nazi regime, mainly working, as I understand, as a singing teacher. Although he did appear here and there, like Vienna and in Holland once or twice. He didn't have a major career, though. After the war, he fell upon really bad times. He ended up leaving Germany, moving to London because somebody called Mrs. Young, a rich elderly lady who had lived in Berlin and had been his friend and had money, decided that she would try and help look after him. But he was one of those people who, well, he wasn't very good with money. He was probably over generous. Somebody said that if he made 500 marks, he would send 200 to his children and 200 to his mother and try and live on the rest. So gradually he fell upon worse and worse times, could hardly buy clothes for himself, and in the end died of some sort of heart disease in 1949 in his early 50s. And he's buried in the Hendon Cemetery, apparently, where he didn't even have enough savings to pay for the funeral. Indeed, it was the same Mrs. Young who paid for the rest. So a sort of sad story, but we're lucky because we have his recordings. There aren't that many, but they're all really world-class. So this is his 1925 recording, just before electrical recordings came in, of which he made a few. This is his version of course, the famous love song from La Bohème, Che gelida manina. And as I said before, if he were singing at this level now, he would be a world star. Costa Milona.
Dinni d'amore per sogni e per chimere.
Now, last time around, I played a political speech given around 1930 by the first ever Labour Prime Minister. I do hope we get another one very soon. This is very different, however. There was a very famous trial, probably the trial of the century, held at the end of 1945, at the end of World War II. And the hearings were issued on limited edition 78. This is a recording of the main Nazis that hadn't committed suicide already, making their plea of guilty or not guilty. Goering tries to start making a statement, but is stopped by the judge fairly quickly, and they all say not guilty. This is the actual proceedings of the Nuremberg trial, recorded on the 21st of November, 1945.
I will now call upon the defendants to plead guilty or not guilty to the charges against them. They will proceed in turn to a point in the dock opposite to the microphone. Hermann Wilhelm Goering.
Bevor ich die Frage des Gerichtshofes beantworte, ob ich mich schuldig oder nicht schuldig bekenne.
I informed the court that defendants were not entitled to make a statement. You must plead guilty or not guilty.
Bekenne mich im Sinne der Anklage nicht schuldig.
Rudolf Hess.
Nein.
That will be entered as a plea of not guilty. If there is any disturbance in court, those who make it will have to leave the court. Joachim von Ribbentrop.
Bekenne mich im Sinne der Anklage für nicht schuldig.
Wilhelm Keitel.
Ich bekenne mich nicht schuldig.
In the absence of Ernst Kaltenbrunner, the trial will proceed against him, but he will have an opportunity of pleading when he is sufficiently well to be brought back into court. Alfred Rosenberg.
Bekenne mich im Sinne der Anklage nicht für schuldig.
Hans Frank.
Ich bekenne mich nicht für schuldig.
Wilhelm Frick.
Nicht schuldig.
Julius Streicher.
Nicht schuldig.
Walter Funk.
Nicht als schuldig.
Hjalmar Schacht.
Ich bin in keiner Weise schuldig.
Karl Dönitz. Erich Rieder.
Ich bekenne mich nicht schuldig.
Baldo von Schirach.
Ich bekenne mich im Sinne der Anklage als nicht schuldig.
Fritz Sarko.
Ich bekenne mich im Sinne der Anklage vor Gott und der Welt und vor allem vor meinem Volk nicht schuldig.
And now we're going to leap back 15 years or so, and we're in a different world completely. Bing Crosby ended up being a multi-millionaire, probably the most successful solo male singer of them all. But he began in a vocal trio, and that trio was nurtured by Paul Whiteman as part of his full band show, I suppose. It was like a sort of big band variety show, and he wanted something that was sort of cabaret turn in the middle. And these three were really on the cusp of something brand new. This is 1928, and this would have been very modern and very with it, because this is proper jazz singing, all arranged and beautifully done with just piano and a tiny little bit of drum accompanying them. And this was the style of this group, which, as I say, was called the Paul Whiteman Rhythm Boys. The other two members of the group were Harry Barris and Al Rinker. Crosby and Rinker had been singing together since 1925, and Paul Whiteman found them around 1926. Harry Barris was added to the team in 1927. They sang with a band, and as with this one, their own solo records as well. It was Harry who was playing the piano. Well, Bing went off and had his own massive career afterwards, but this is how he started. And I've got a funny feeling that one part of him still hankered after what he used to do when he was young. It would have been exciting then, brand new, and, well, it was the future, wasn't it? By the way, Al Rinker's sister was Mildred Bailey, and she helped Bing and the Rhythm Boys get started on their career because she was just that little bit ahead of them at the time. Well, enough talking, let's hear the music. This is a typical example of the Rhythm Boys singing back then in 1928. The name of the song is very simple, Wadada.
Now Congress has come I see.
Those were our curtains.
Yeah, Congress knows it. By the way, have you received your package of keys? Oh, what's the difference who gets in? As long as he can think. Oh, what the, da-da-da-da-da. Everybody's doing it now.
The Paul Whiteman Rhythm Boys, and as I think I've probably said elsewhere amongst these podcasts, Bing Crosby was described once as the first cool white man, and I think I know what they meant. Well, around the same time as those recordings were going on, there was a great soprano in Italy. In fact, there were several people up. Claudio Muzio could be heard. In America, there was Rosa Ponzel. But possibly the most forgotten of the great sopranos of that time was Giannina Aranghi Lombardi. She had begun as a mezzo, and you can hear that quality in her voice, that sort of richer, darker sound. But after 3 years of singing mezzo, and she was born in 1891 and made her debut at the age of 29, which was quite late, she soon did a bit of retraining and then had a new career as soprano starting in 1923. So she only really started her career in her 30s. And it was a relatively short career because she only really sang for about, something like 15 years. During that time, however, her reputation soon spread. She was in high demand all over Italy and all over Europe, although not Paris or London for some reason. And she was loved in South America, where at that time many of the great opera singers would make tours. It was unusual in that her recordings included four complete operas, Aida, Cavalleria Rusticana, La Gioconda, and Mephistopheles. But here she is singing an aria from a Donizetti opera called Lucrezia Borgia. There's something majestic and rather, how can I put it, dignified about her singing. And there's a sort of innate sadness somewhere in the voice. Very fetching, very creamy singing, beautiful singing, what can I say. This was recorded in 1933, and she retired in 1938. After that, confining herself to teaching at the Music Conservatory in Milan until she died very young, I'm not quite sure why, at the age of 60. Luckily, as I say, there were quite a few recordings of her left to us, and this is up with any of them, Giannina Aranghi Lombardi.
Thank you.
And from a great operatic soprano, we go to a completely different sort of vocal talent. 4 years after that, this record was made. It was recorded by William Arnold, known as Billy Costello, who was born in 1898 and survived till 1971. Another one of the people who, sadly, second half of his life, he was a forgotten man. He began as a vaudeville performer, calling himself Red Pepper Sam, but he also played drums in Fred Waring's orchestra, and then got taken on by the Fleischer Cartoon Studios as the voice of Gus the Gorilla on the Betty Boop radio show. And they liked the sound of this raspy voice and thought it might work for a new character they had in mind called Popeye. And indeed, he became the voice of Popeye for the first 2 or 3 years. Unfortunately, this went to his head a bit, and he became a bit of a diva, wanted more money, would take days off in the middle of recording, and goodness knows what. The result of which was he was finally replaced by somebody called Jack Mercer. His last performance on a Popeye film was in a short called You Gotta Be a Football Hero. However, he knew that he'd got famous, and so he started billing himself as the original voice of Popeye, went to Europe, did tours, and made several recordings for Columbia, Decca, and Rex, the last of which I'm going to play you today. With the start of the war, he went back to the USA, but before long he became, as I say, a largely forgotten man. And indeed, the last 12 years of his life, he just ran a trailer park in San Jose. A sad end to an interesting character. I suppose he was the 30s equivalent of Mel Blanc, somebody specializing in cartoon voices. The tune he's going to sing is interesting too, because this became the famous theme tune of Looney Tunes, which was, as far as I remember, Warner Brothers, not Fleischer. And you'll recognize the tune, probably never having heard it with the words before. Anyway, this is Billy Costello using his Popeye voice, and one or two others actually, during the course of the 78, in 1937, singing The Merry-Go-Round Broke Down.
The merry-go-round broke down, as he went around and round. Each time would miss, we'd steal a kiss while the merry-go-round went. The merry-go-round broke down and made the darndest sound. The lights went low, we both said, oh, and the merry-go-round went. Oh, what fun, a wonderful time, finding love for only a dime. The merry-go-round broke down, but you don't see me frown. Things turned out fine, and now she's mine, 'cause the merry-go-round went. Oh, the merry-go-round broke down, as we went around and round. Each time t'would miss, we'd steal a kiss while the merry-go-round went. The merry-go-round broke down and made the darndest sound. The lights went low, we both said, oh, and the merry-go-round went. Oh, what fun, a wonderful time, finding love for only your time. The merry-go-round broke down, but you don't see me frown. Things turned out fine, and now she's mine, but the merry-go-round went.
Well, who knows, maybe that trailer park had a merry-go-round in it, so maybe his life did end up in a sort of circle. I don't really know, probably not. Anyhow, this is time for me to play my track. As you probably know, a lot of my arrangements are done with modern technology, and I use samples to represent violins, bass, clarinet, whatever. It's very difficult to find a good sample, however, to represent saxophones. I recently found a possibility and tried it out on the arrangement that you're about to hear. I'm not entirely happy with it, so I didn't put the saxophone sound too high in the mix. But it's my version, I suppose, of the famous tune Perdido that was made famous in the early 40s by, of course, the Duke Ellington Orchestra originally. I hope you'll enjoy it. It's literally a recording I finished just 2 days ago. I had a lot of trouble with this one, messing about with samples and doing clever electronic things, or at least I didn't, but the studio engineer did. So I think it's come out all right. See if you like it. As always, before I play it, don't forget to spread this podcast to the world. There should be millions of people listening to this because it's wonderful music, and if you don't have shellac on your shelves, you won't be able to hear it. I have tried to get rid of any scratch and crackle and any other sound imperfection, so it should sound pretty good. And finally, if you are impressed with shellac and you want to buy some and start your own collection, don't forget, all you have to do is contact me, and on my website erlokin.net, go to the right and there's a link to all the doubles that I've got, particularly in the genre of opera. I've got lots and lots of doubles which I really haven't got room for, but I can't throw away because they're just wonderful records. Well, that said, here is my version of Perdido, and until the next time, as always, au revoir.
Perdido, I look for my heart, it's Perdido. I lost it way down in Torino, the day that fiesta started. Bolero, I swayed when they played the bolero. I kissed me the listing sombrero, and that's when my heart departed. High was the sun when I held her close. Low was the moon when we said adios. Perdido, my heart ever since is Perdido. I know I must go to Torino to find what I lost, Perdido. Sun when I held her close. Low was the moon when we said adios. Perdido, I looked for my heart, it's Perdido. I lost it way down in Torino, the day that fiesta started. Bolero, I swear when they played the bolero, I kissed me the listing sombrero, and that's when my heart departed. High was the sun when I held her close. Low was the moon when we said adios. Perdido, my heart ever since is perdido. I know I must go to Torino to find what I lost. Perdido.